God, we are so thankful that you are a God of miracles. God, we come to you each day. We come to you each Sunday, Father, and we come with a heart of expectancy, Father, and expectancy knowing that you are going to do the supernatural in our life each and every day. So, God, we thank you for that. God, we thank you that we can trust in you. We thank you that your promises and your word are true, and we thank you that we can stand on them each day. God, I pray that as we sang these songs this morning, Father, that we would be reminded and would have been reminded of your goodness, reminded of your promises, and reminded that you are true to your word. So, God, we thank you. And Father, I pray that we would have an enjoyable remainder of a Sunday, that we would be impacted, that our hearts and spirits would be impacted for you, God, that we would be reminded of your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Make yourself comfortable. Thank you, music team. It's an interesting day in our house. We've got a third teenager today. Seth turned 13 today, so it's a fun day at our place. He's an awesome guy to have. And he gets a haircut on Monday, so he's gonna look sharp again. Right now, he looks like a bit of a hobo. So we're going for haircuts, so he's gonna look nice and sharp, so we can take him out for. We're taking him out for his 13th birthday, because he can't have a party, as well as a kind of a graduation, because he graduated from grade 6 to 7 this past summer, so we're doing it all at once, budgeting and saving money. That's smart, right? It's not cheap, it's smart. Just kidding. We did take him out here, but we wanted to honor it, because it's a big day, right? At this point in time, many years ago, he'd probably be already looking for a wife. He better not be. He's got a few more years before he can even think about girls, right, Seth? Mm-hmm. Now that I'm done embarrassing him. So, welcome to Sunday Church. Today we're going to continue talking about the Word. And we're going to continue to talk more about the effects of the Word of God in your life with a message called More Effects. That's pretty catchy, right? It's witty and smart. And this week, it's just really going to be a continuation of what we talked about last week, because last week, if I would have made one message out of it, it would have been about a 1.5 to 2, maybe 2.5 hour message. So I kept you here for 45 minutes, so you can do the math on how long today's going to be. But as we talk about the Word, we talked about a few important things that feed into this week, last week. So last week, we talked about how the Word of God is not just a book with principles. It's not just a book of how we live. It's a book of how to develop things like the greatest countries. That's in the Word of God. We talked about how it talks about building good, godly businesses. That's in the Word of God, isn't it? It talks about how to build great cities, great families, how to have good health, proper health, build wealth, stunning looks. Right? Belle, don't laugh and snark at me. I'm a handsome man. I tell myself that every morning. So does my wife. But it's an amazing book. It's no wonder it's an all-time bestseller. It's not just informative for our minds, because the Word of God is alive. Amen? It's a book of promises. It's a book of truth. The Bible is God-breathed. It's God-spoken. And it's the most important book we can read. And we close this message talking about how when Jesus came across Satan, came across the devil, he didn't try to talk with the devil. He didn't try to reason him or entertain thoughts of the devil. He showed you how incredible and how powerful and amazing the Word of God is when he quoted Scripture and said, "It is written," and quoted Scripture back at the devil. And the devil even gave us a glimpse when we read in Scripture about how powerful he knows the Word of God is, because he tried to quote it back. We know the Word of God is powerful. And when we apply it to our life, when we know it and we stand on the truths of it, boy, can we live an empowered life. When we understand and know what it means and what it does, boy, things can be good. But the problem is too many of us don't know. Too many of us don't spend time. Too many of us take that temptation or take that fear, own the sickness, own the poverty, own the anger, whatever it may be, and they don't walk in joy. They don't walk in the fruit of the Spirit. They don't walk in the blessings of God. And today we're going to talk more about that. Because God's Word, when things are going on, needs to rise up and be the sword that it is and come out of our mouth as we speak it. Amen? We need to use that logos and that rhema, and we need to use that knowledge and speak the Word. We need to speak the revelation that's been given to us through the Word of God. And it is a powerful weapon used against the enemy. And we can stand on His Word about things like, it is written about my family, it is written about my finances and my business and my health, and speak truth over them. We can speak truth over our spouses and our children and our grandchildren rather than believing and buying into the lies of the enemy that he wants you to think and make you feel helpless. You are powerful through the Word of God, and you have authority in the Word of God. Amen? I went off my notes already. You know it's going to be that type of a Sunday. That's good, right? So the Word of God produces faith in us. When we read the Word of God, when we study the Word of God, it builds and produces a faith in us like no other. And Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you know why people give their lives to Jesus? It's not because you persuade them in their head, like you sell it. Like, it's not like you're trying to sell these knives. Like, look at these knives. They can cut through your shoe and then a pop can and then still through this chicken. It's not how you're selling Jesus. That's not how this works. But too many of us try to persuade the gospel on people. We try to share all these good things, and which is a good thing to do because it's important. But if you share the good news, if you share the gospel with people, faith, the God type of faith, the faith in Jesus, in His Word, and they hear us explain the Word of God and why you can be saved and what Jesus did on the cross, stuff like forgiveness and righteousness, then faith comes in them and they have to choose. It's not a matter of us persuading and, oh, look at this shiny car and look at this. But it's explaining the goodness of God and the promises of His Word. It's explaining the Word. And as they hear God's Word, they get faith building up in them, and at some point they will become born again. So sharing your faith with people has nothing to do with your acumen. The gospel, when it's shared in its simplicity, allows the Holy Spirit to go to work, and faith will rise up on the inside. Not a human faith which is of the head, but a God type of faith that's of the heart. So to talk to someone with joy and in a real way, I remember a long time ago somebody trying to tell somebody about Jesus. And all they did for the first while of the discussion was talk about how terrible their life was. I'm going to tell you what. If you believe your life is terrible, you got to change your perspective, right? When we have faith in God, we know we have a good life with God. We know that His Word is full of promises and truths, don't we? We're not here to be punished and suffer. So why don't we, instead of telling people how terrible things are, oh, it's so bad, start standing on the truths of God. We need to allow the joy of the Lord. We need to allow our faith and the promises that He has already given us, the healing that He has already given us, to come out of us, to speak it out of us, and to share the good news with people. Because the Word of God is working in us at all times. And we can allow it, as we share it, to work in them. And as they hear the Word, as it gets in their head, it's going to make its way to their heart. And as they hear it, the Holy Spirit will help them and lead them and speak to them. And faith will rise up and they will get saved. Amen? We know when we speak the Word of God and share the Word of God, it never comes back void. Secondly, the Word of God provides spiritual nourishment. And we talked very quickly about this last week. We shared this verse from 1 Peter 2:2. And it says, like newborn babies, you should long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may be nurtured and grow in respect to salvation, its ultimate fulfillment. So don't tell me I'm done growing ever. None of us are ever done growing. We need to continually spend time in His Word, being nurtured, growing in things of faith, growing in things so we have a better understanding of healings and the miraculous, so that we can operate and function appropriately in them. Too many of us are like, oh, I don't know how to do this, so I guess let's just do it. But when we spend time in His Word, when we know Him and know His nature, we have a better understanding, don't we? Just because your body is done growing doesn't mean you can't grow healthier, amen? You can grow stronger as your body's done growing. You can grow better, and the same thing is true with our spirit. With our body, though, as we start to fill it with the Word of God, and as we start to speak the Word of God over our lives, and we speak health, we can have things like better joints, better organs, better health overall, can't we? We've seen people with knees that need to be replaced, that as they pray, they get a new joint, and they go get an x-ray, and there's no need for surgery. Those things happen today in Canada. So we need to start living with that expectation and expectancy and spend time in His Word so that we understand it. We want you continually growing in Jesus. Are you spending time in His Word so you'll grow spiritually? Are we in the Word? Is the Word in you? Is the Word working mightily in you each day? Ephesians 3:20 and 21 tells us this: Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Right? See, people look at that verse and they think it has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with God. But it says there, according to the power that is at work in who? In us! It's the power that's at work in us. So what is the power that is at work in you? You could say Jesus, right? And you'd be partially right. I wouldn't say you're wrong. But because the Word of God teaches you and that we need the full Word of God, the Word of God teaches us that the Word of God that comes in and begins to change. It's the Word of God that begins to change us, sorry. It's the authority of the Word that's in us. It's the power that's the Word in us. That's what begins to change us. No wonder that Jesus, all these years until he was 30, was spending time in the Scriptures, getting to know the Scriptures. Because how else, when he was confronted by Satan, would he know the Scriptures, right? He spent time studying. He spent time learning. He spent time with the Father. And maybe you say, well, I don't believe that's true. Well, I know it's true because Jesus knew the word, or knew the Scriptures from Deuteronomy when he was telling Satan, it is written. The Scriptures bring spiritual nourishment. That's why it's the bread of life. Amen? The third thing, the Word of God produces mental illumination. Now, I'm not getting hokey on you with this term illumination, okay? Just bear with me. It brings mental light. It brings a mental clarity. That's what I'm saying when I say illumination. Don't think I'm getting crazy on you. The Word isn't just some book that you can't get in your head or body or in your life. It has an ability to illuminate. And Psalms 119, 130 tells us, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. If you never know or struggle what to do in a situation, or if you spend time in the Word, you will know what to do. Because what does it do in every situation? It reveals, when we spend time in the Word, the written will of God, as well as, secondly, the Holy Spirit will speak to you in areas that the Word could be silent. If you don't go into God's Word is the general will of God, okay? And Holy Spirit's job is not to just sit there and teach you the Word of God. It is to illuminate the Word as you study it. It's to bring a recognition to the Word of God and give you an understanding of how to apply the Word of God to your life. You need to spend time in the Word and get it in you, is what I'm saying. Stop missing out on getting His Word into you. Spend time in the Word. When you spend time in the Word, you'll begin to get the Word on the inside, and it will produce on the outside. Next, the Word of God provides physical healing. To many people out there, they think that, great, we have all the promises we have in the Word, and they're all spiritual. They're just spiritual promises. I've heard this from too many people. Nobody in here, obviously. But I've heard it from too many people. Too many people out there think, great, well, it's good for my heart, it's good for my spirit. And I disagree. The promises of the Word of God are both spiritual and physical. And if someone is telling you that it's only spiritual, they're misinformed of the Word and they don't know the Word. And there's verse after verse that speaks to this. And I'm going to take a quick moment to give you a verse here. Proverbs 4:20-22. It says, my son, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. Open your ears to my sayings. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. And what else? And healing and health to all their flesh. This isn't the only verse in the Bible. We're going to stop at one verse here because we have a lot of points today. But this is one verse, and something that we can achieve from the Word of God. We weren't designed to die because of sickness and disease overrunning our body. Stop buying into that lie that people will tell you. That should be an amen. Right? And Scripture says that a person who knows who they are in Christ dies. It says their breath just goes to God. They don't have to die sick. The Bible says that when our time is up, we just get to go be with Him. That's what the Word tells us. It doesn't say the promises don't work at a certain age. Once you hit 65, the promises are done. Sorry. Yeah. It's like retirement. You get CPP, you don't get the promises anymore. That's not how it works. That's not how it works, people. I say that almost a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's not how they work. The promises work for as long as we walk in the promises and as long as we walk with Christ and we know what He has to say and we stand on those promises. That's how long they work. We need to recognize that the Word is working mightily in all of our lives. Number five, the Word makes victory over sin and Satan possible. Psalms 119:11 tells us, your word I have treasured and stored in my heart, that I may not sin against you. The word sin literally means to miss the mark for God's best. That's what it means. So some people might say, well, that's okay. God loves me anyway. And yes, He does. He loves you. And God has forgiven me. If I've given my heart to Him, right? Yes. But you're missing the mark to the best that he has for you. There's so much more, and we need to spend time in his word to understand the best that he has for us. Jesus is our assurance of heaven and God's favor on our life. But the Bible is written to give you and I an understanding of what's good for you and I and what's available for you and I. That's what the word does. And as you get God's word in your heart and you develop an ability and a strength to say no to sin, you have a strength to withstand Satan and his temptations. So as you get to know the word of God and feed on them and meditate on them and grow, you can stand against Satan, and his lies and his schemes and his plans, and you can stomp on him and say, no! We need to get into God's word, people. We need to allow him to reveal, to teach us, to know how to stand against this. Spending time in his word and just absorbing it. We can't learn the word by osmosis. Maybe you guys don't remember this. Maybe some of you didn't have it, but I can't even remember what he was doing. Do you remember Garfield, the cat? And I remember in classroom, and this was like a long time ago, because I was like in grade 5. But I don't even remember what book he had, but he was like laying on it, and he was like, oh, I'm learning by osmosis. We can't learn the Bible by osmosis. We actually need to open it up, get in it, and spend time with it, spend time with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and allow it to speak to our hearts. The Word of God provides cleansing and holiness. That's the next one. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, when you give your life to him, you are holy. And we read this verse from Ephesians 5, 25 to 27, where it says, and we use this a lot in weddings. Those of you that have got to your wedding, you would have heard me say this. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So the way you wash your emotions, your mind, your body are going to be cleansed and sanctified. It's not the washing of miracles, though. It's not the washing of prayer. It's not the washing on the laying of hands. It's the washing of water by the word. Holy Spirit, taking the word as you study it, as you spend time in it, and it grows in you this peace and this joy as you spend time in the word. The Holy Spirit takes the word as you study it, and something happens on the inside of you which comes out of the outside of you. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like if you're eating garlic and you go to maybe I'm alone. This is a weird story. But I'd pop garlic, and I remember playing football, and I'd like to have a piece of garlic in my cheek, which isn't good because you're hitting people, and all of a sudden you swallow. But anyway, I'd like garlic if I had a sore throat, and I'd pop it in my cheek as a high school student, which girls would just love, I'm sure. But I'm going to give my boys and girls garlic from now on. But when you're sweating, and what comes out of your pores? Garlic smell, right? And as we spend time in his word, as we eat the word, as we take in the word, what comes out of our pores? What comes out of us? The word, right? Does that make sense? We need to spend time in the word. We need to be washed by the word. We need to be filled with the word. And when we live our life so confident in Christ, the word, the life of Christ comes out of us and is out there for all to see. So continue to grow in his word and experience the cleansing and holiness come over you of the word. Allow it to affect your spirit man and grow and become who you are and come out of your mind and your emotions. Next, I think we're on 7 if my math is right, is the word of God is a spiritual mirror. James 1, 22, 25 tells us this, but prove yourselves doers of the word, actively and continually obeying God's precepts, and not merely listeners who hear the word but fail to internalize its meaning, deluding yourselves by unsound reasoning, contrary to the truth. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, he is like a man who looks very carefully at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets what he looks like. But he who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and faithfully abides by it, not having become a careless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he will be blessed and favored by God in what he does in his life of obedience. So I want to remind you all, I've talked about this before, but I want to remind you that these couple things. I am, and you are not who your parents say you are, okay? I am not who my colleagues say I am. I'm not who you say I am. I'm not who my bloodline say I am. Those are not my identity. I am looking into the mirror of God's word. That is what I am. And we need to be looking at God's word for who we are. Stop looking around you for approval and start looking at his word as a mirror of who we are. And as we look into his word, this is who I am. This is how God made me. This is who God made me to be. And start living in the fullness of who you have been called to be. Remember, I am designed by heaven. I am made by God. Amen? And so we need to stop looking at earthly things to discover who we are and instead start looking at the word of God. We need to look into the mirror of God's word and know who we are. And lastly, I'm going to invite the music team up. See, it wasn't as long as I said. I was just teasing with you. The Bible is our ultimate judge, okay? The Bible is our ultimate judge. And John 12, 47, 48, listen to what it says. It says, if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge and condemn the world, that is, to initiate the final judgment of the world, but to save the world. Whoever rejects me and refuses to accept my teaching has one who judges him. The very word that I spoke will judge and condemn him on the last day. Those are the words of Jesus. Jesus is saying, I'm not judging people. I'm here to give life, a new life. But the word of God that has been spoken, the way that it has been presented, every area of your life, God's word will bring strength and build strength in it. God's word will bring healing and life and prosperity in it. It will help you make decisions. It will be the ultimate judge. And these eight simple effects tie together with what we talked about last week and are very powerful pieces for us all to know. And I think are very important pieces for us to understand and to grab onto. In order to fully know about walking in the authority that we have been given. And as you spend time with Jesus and you get to know his word and you spend time in his word, it will come to work mightily in your life. See, God loves us. He loves us, right? Nothing we've done deserves that love and has earned that love. But spending time in the Word of God helps build those truths in our lives. Helps build all these things. And the Word of God changes everything in you. It's like making scrambled eggs. It just makes it better when you throw in some onions and some ham and some cheese. I'm hungry. What can I say? The Word of God doesn't lie, though, does it? It doesn't. The Word of God works. It works. It activates. And it brings clarity. And I'm excited as we go through 2021 for this good year that it's going to be. And I've said this a couple times already to some of you and a few more times to more of you. I think I've said it to all of you though. 2020 was a good year. God was at work mightily. I'm excited for 2021 to even be better. Because the way I look at it, and I believe it's a good principle of his word, is that we shouldn't expect the same. We should always expect more. So I'm excited for a year of growth in 2020. I'm excited for what he is doing in each and every one of us, and I'm excited what he's going to do. Amen? It's good. It's a good year. And I'm excited for us to experience more effects of the word. We're going to close now, and I'm just going to invite, if this is the first time you've heard about the word of God and the effects of it, and the strength it brings, and the healing, and the prosperity, and the good things that the word of God has for each and every one of us. Or maybe it's been a reminder for you, and you need to reconnect with Jesus, and you want to say this prayer. We're just going to give you an opportunity to become a believer in Jesus. And we're going to say a simple prayer. There's no magical words behind it. It's just a simple prayer asking Jesus to come into your life. And if you know Jesus, I'm going to ask you to just repeat these words with me anyways so that everybody feels comfortable no matter where you are. Would you guys pray with me if you want to accept Jesus? And if you don't, if you already know him, I'm going to ask you just to pray with me as well. So dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place, take every punishment, every curse. Thank you, Jesus, that I am now free. Thank you for coming into my heart, coming into my life, and giving me freedom. Jesus, from today on, I'm chasing after and following you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you pray that prayer for the first time today, contact me at the church. 306-882-2453. Email me, message me, message on Facebook, message on YouTube, whatever you need. I want to connect with you. We have Bibles here for you. I'd love to give you a Bible. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to explain what it is you just did. I love that we've had a few people this year already give their hearts to Jesus and connect with us. So it's been so awesome and so exciting, and I'm excited for what continued renewal and continued engagement in Jesus looks like for you. So contact me. I'd love to connect with you. If you're from town, we'd love to get you here or get you connected with the church. And if you're not from town, we'd love to connect you with a good Bible-based church wherever you may be. So let's pray in closing. God, we thank you. We thank you for sending your son Jesus for each and every one of us, that we might have righteousness, that we have life, that we have healing, we have prosperity, we have victory. We have all the promises of your word, God, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises that you've given us already. We thank you for your son Jesus that came and died on a cross and rose again to make these promises possible. So God, we thank you. We pray, God, that as we continue through this year, that we would continue to engage you in real and unique ways. Father, we love you, and we just look forward to all the good things you have for us. God, we thank you for each person here in person and watching online. Father, I pray that you will impact them today, that they will be excited and charged and transformed for you, and that we will get about your work with our community, Father, with each other, and with you. So God, give us a great day. Bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. Have a great week, and we will talk to you next week.